existence for quite a while. Most of you probably in this era get the prayer chain by way of text. Some of you still call, and you get the prayer chain that way by somebody calling and then you passing it on and calling to somebody else. And so I just want to review some basics about it tonight, just to bring all of us back to the same page on it. Anyone who attends the church can call in a prayer chain. So if you're attending Mount Zion Baptist Church, you can call in a prayer chain. You can request prayer for yourself. You can request prayer for an immediate family member or one of our missionaries. Any of those requests are appropriate. It should be an urgent physical or spiritual need that we are praying over, or an emergency or life-threatening situation. Colds, simple ache or pain, flu. It's not that those things aren't important, but if we did that, we might be answering prayer chains all day long, you know. And so we want to open the prayer chain up anytime after 9 o'clock in the morning and up to 8 o'clock at night. So 9 o'clock to 8 o'clock. If you are calling in a prayer request, we ask you to keep the request simple and brief. Does anybody know why we might ask that? Because when it has to be passed along, guess what? If it's long and complicated, it'll be completely different by the time it hits the end, right? And so keep it simple and brief. Pass on only facts. That's important. And don't add your own interpretation. It is not for gossiping. It is for prayer. And so when passing on a prayer chain request by way of phone, if you're in the phone chain, you pass it on to the next person in the chain. If you cannot reach that person next in line, continue down the chain until you reach someone. If you get an answering machine, leave the request and tell them that you will continue to call down the chain, and then call the next person until you reach someone. And you can go back and try to reach the people that you've left messages with maybe later on. When you get a prayer chain, be sure to pray over your request before you call it in, and pray over the request you receive immediately. Because what happens? Life moves and we forget, right? And it's for the purpose of taking these requests before the Lord. And so those things are important. We ask you to call Tammy Henrich. She will put the request on the prayer chain. And if you cannot reach Tammy, call Nancy. They will get it started by text and by phone as well, whatever that phone is. If you're not part of the prayer chain and you would like to be on the phone list, I need you to talk to Nancy, okay? If you're not part of the prayer chain and you'd like to be on the text list, I need you to talk to Tammy, all right? And so if you're not part of the prayer chain in any one of those ways, you can talk to these ladies, get on the prayer chain, and be aware of things that are happening and be taking those things to the Lord in prayer. And we believe that prayer is effective, don't we? We believe that we can take emergencies to the Lord, and certainly we want to do that on behalf of others. And so remember that. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2. So since the new year started, we've had a different prayer focus for every Sunday night, just to bring something specifically before the Lord. We've prayed for laborers for the harvest fields. We've prayed that God would heal our land. And tonight, we want to pray that we could have those in authority allow us to lead a quiet and a peaceable life. That's in Scripture. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 2. And I want you to look at verses 1 and 2 as we bring this prayer focus to you before we open in prayer tonight. The Bible says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior." I don't know about you, but when I find something that is good and acceptable to God, I want to do it. And the Bible here says that it's good and acceptable for us to pray this way. that God would allow the government officials, the authorities that be, to allow us to live a quiet and peaceable life in godliness without threat and in honesty. And so we want to pray that way tonight. And Dave Wright, I'm going to ask you to stand and just pray over this prayer focus as we begin the service tonight, if you would, if you pray over this prayer focus. Amen. Amen. All right, we'll take testimonies tonight. Just before we do, had a great Sunday morning service. You saw lots and lots of visitors that God brought out our way. And one of the visitors here was able to get right with God this morning after being away from God for quite some time. We had two that made decisions to get baptized in the coming baptismal coming up in 2 weeks. And so I think that's three candidates now right now that are want to be baptized, and then we have a couple more that we're talking to, so you pray about that. And lots of people that are open to visits, talk to a lot to set up appointments, and they're very open to visits. One family's been coming now for 3 or 4 weeks. We have an appointment on Friday with them, and that's a gospel. I believe that's going to be a gospel appointment. And so just continue to pray as God's bringing people our way to be able to meet their spiritual needs, their spiritual needs. All right? Let's take a few testimonies. Brother Dave Wilbur, you start us off tonight. Brother Dave told me he had.
Sure. Yeah, the offertory this morning was a couple of hymns blended together. One of them was one number, 178, I know that my Redeemer liveth. Here are the other three lines that go with that. And on the earth again shall stand, I know eternal life he giveth, and grace and power in his hand.
Amen.
What a mix. Power. Christ said, all authority is given unto me. That's authority. That's legitimate power. It's the Greek exousia. That's what we were told. God preserved his word. And also with the power comes the grace.
Mm.
The grace, like the ground is leveled. Go to the cross.
Amen.
God wants everybody to come.
That's good. Amen.
Good testimony tonight from the music, from the offertory this morning. Anybody else with a testimony before we stand and sing tonight? Brother Dan in the back, go ahead.
Praise the Lord. Yes, it would.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for His protection tonight. Michael, go ahead. Amen. Yep. Amen. Amen. Remember Erin and her pregnancy, and we thank the Lord for that in her life. Rejoice with them. But as you well know, they lost a child, and so they're coming into this with that. And we're going to trust God and pray for her during all of this. And thank you for the good testimony on the mercy and justice of God tonight. Amen. Somebody else with a testimony? Tabitha, go ahead. Amen. 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 Garland, go ahead. Amen. 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 Somebody else? Anybody else with a testimony tonight? Brother Bob, go ahead. Amen. 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 Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Amen. Amen. Right. Amen. 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 Gospel going forward to co-workers and people that had Christian influence their lives. Praise God. Somebody else back here. One more. Mr. Jerry?
Sometimes the verses just really jump out to you and they're interesting. They almost make you laugh. And in teen time this past week, we walked through a character study of Apollos. And I shared this with the teens. And he is known, one of his main things he's known for is being eloquent. He's a preacher. He has very, very good speaking. And contrasting that, a verse in 2 Corinthians 10:10 just jumps out to me. This is Paul talking about himself, how people look at him. It says, "For his letters say they are weighty and powerful, but his bodily presence is weak and his speech contemptible." And it was just the difference between Paul and Apollos, very different people, but God used both of them mightily, and it just struck me just how different people can be and how much God can use everybody. It doesn't matter how different you are from anybody else. God's got a specific role for you, and it just helped out.
Amen. Amen. Stand with me. Take your songbooks. We'll sing together tonight. God bless you.
Turn to hymn number 238. 238, I Must Tell Jesus. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn number 238. Please be seated.
Would you stand with me, please? Turn to hymn number 365. Hymn number 365, A Child of the King. We'll sing all four stanzas of hymn number 365. My Father is rich in heaven and land.
Never fear, for the Savior is near. My
A couple of things tonight before Dr. Bottrell comes. One is, some of you work with Samaritan Ministries for your insurance. And on November 1st of last year, they opened up a discount for those that are in churches that use sermon audio. And we happen to be a church that uses sermon audio. And so if you're in Samaritan Ministries, let me encourage you to call them. Let them know that you're with Mount Zion Baptist Church, and we use sermon audio. We upload our videos and our audios to there. And I don't know what the specific discount is, but I know there is a discount. And so I want to give that information to you tonight, and that'll be a help, maybe a little financial relief for some of you. Because of that link, Sermon Audio is looking for a way to bless God's people. And so they've made that connection, and I wanted you to be made aware of it. You know, one of the things that my father has really emphasized with me over the years is enjoy ministry relationships. And we have had a number of good relationships for many, many years. One of those is with Dr. Bottrell and his family. And we're glad that they're able to be with us this time again, and having been at the retreat over the weekend. And we certainly enjoyed some fellowship, some sweet fellowship today. And I want to thank the Lord for friendship and godly men that have a few years on me. But boy, it is a blessing to be able to talk to them and see a path that they have carved of faithfulness and sticking to the stuff and a sweet spirit and wanting to be used by God. And these people are dear people. And we've been thrilled to have them here. So, Dr. Bottrell, you come and preach for us tonight. Take your Bibles, if you will, and see what God has for us through the Word.
Well, it is great to be at the Mount Zion Baptist Church tonight. And I pray that God will speak to your hearts and meet spiritual needs this evening. Whenever I compliment somebody on something, I try to always be honest. I was taught when I first was taught to win souls. They said, when you go in a house you've never been in there before, look for something that you can compliment. And so if the house is a mess, you don't say, man, you sure are a good housekeeper. You know, they know you're lying. And they won't want to be affiliated with you very long if you keep lying to them. But so anyway, I try to be very honest about my compliments. And I would like to say that most of you probably already know it, but I really believe with all of my heart that your pastor has a lot of wisdom. I believe that God has been very, very good to you in giving you a good pastor. And if any of you weren't aware of that, just take my word for it and believe that God has given him wisdom and guidance. And that'll help you. And also, I believe that he is close to the Lord. And those things together are really very important, and I pray they'd help you. Let me ask you a question, and be honest with me if you would, please, because sometimes I go to some place and can't remember what I said and what I didn't say. And would you happen to remember me telling you the story about three ladies, one of them 92, one of them 94, and one of them 96? If I told that to you, raise your hand. If you've ever heard it before, raise your hand. Well, since you all don't get around very much and you haven't heard that, either that or maybe you are all not telling the truth either. That might be true. I don't know. But, you know, there were three ladies, and they were getting old. They were 92, 94, 96 years old. And all three of their husbands had passed away. And they got together and were talking and said, you know what? We ought to move in together and split the expenses, and we could save a lot of money if we just helped each other. And, you know, who knows, getting our age, we might need some help one of these days. And so why don't we do that? So they made that decision and they moved in together. And one day after they had moved in together and things were going real good, the one that was 96 years old, she went upstairs to take a bath. And she gets upstairs and she starts to run some water, and she starts scratching her head, and she hollers down to her 94-year-old sister and says, hey, was I getting in the bath or was I getting out? And she says, hey, I'll come up and check and see. And so she started up the stairway. And she gets about halfway up the stairway, and she stops. She starts scratching her head. Man, was I going up the stairs or was I going down? She hollered to her sister down at the kitchen table that was 92 years old and asked her, was I going upstairs or was I coming down? And so she's sitting there at the kitchen table, and she says to herself, I sure hope that when I get old that I don't get forgetful like my sisters. She knocks on wood. And then she looks up and she says, as soon as I check and see who's at the door, I'll come up and check on you. So now next time I come, if I ask you that question, then all of you have to raise your hand, okay? But anyway, it is good to laugh as Christians, isn't it? Well, I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews and the book of Deuteronomy, Hebrews 13. And I was looking at Brother Starr a little bit ago, and I wondered why he has so much wisdom. And then I started thinking about my boys. I have three sons, and all three of them are losing their hair. And on the top, you know, and in the back. And I was thinking, that's got to be it, because my boys are pretty wise, maybe beyond my wisdom. And I thought, maybe that's why Brother Starr is so wise. But I was looking around, and man, there's a lot of wisdom in this church. Praise the Lord. That's good. And Brother Todd there was really amen in that. Okay. Hebrews chapter 13. And I want to read one verse there, verse number 7. Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 7. And it says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. I want you to notice that word follow, considering the end of their conversation or their lifestyle. Now, Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Deuteronomy chapter number 11. Verse number 18. Deuteronomy 11. Verse number 18 and 19. And it says, therefore shall ye lay up these words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that tonight that you would help me to have clarity of mind and to be a help to these dear people. Lord, they came to church today, tonight, and they want to be fed something. Lord, if I went to a restaurant and asked for a meal and they said, well, you're out of luck, we don't have any food left, Lord, I wouldn't be too happy of a person at that point. And Lord, if these people came to church tonight and after the message's over, they would be saying in their heart, it would have sure been nice to get fed something tonight, then I would be very, very disappointed in myself as well as other reasons. And Lord, I just ask you to meet every spiritual need tonight. God, would you take the words by the time they leave my mouth and touch the hearts and the ears and lives of these dear people, that you would make those words be what you want them to be. Lord, we'll sure praise you and thank you for that. If there's a lost person here tonight, may they get saved. And saved people, may there not be one saved person that would go out not having been spoken to by the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you would put me in the background and you in the foreground. I pray that people would see Jesus. And we'll be grateful for that. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Do you know that everybody in this audience today is an influence upon somebody else? However, probably a lot of you, and maybe a majority of you here tonight, do not feel that you have very much influence at all. You might look at somebody like your pastor and say, boy, he is influential, and he has a lot of influence on a lot of people. But you might think of yourself as somebody that doesn't have any influence on people. But I would like to let you know that there's a lot of people that have had influence upon your life, and you have a lot of influence upon other people's lives. Now, in my life, some of the people that have had influence upon my life has been my mother and my daddy. They have influenced me, and now I thank the Lord that my mother and my dad were saved. They were not what you would call giant Christians, but they were saved. And they had a good habit of taking me and my two brothers and my sister to church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. I cannot remember missing church ever growing up, except one Sunday when we got a big storm on Saturday night, and it blew a couple of great big oak trees down across our driveway, and there was a fence on both sides of our driveway, and we could not get out of the driveway. Sunday morning, my dad got me and my brothers up, and we went outside, and we got the equipment, the farm equipment. I grew up on a farm, and moved those trees out of the driveway, cut them all up, and moved them out of the way, and we went to church on Sunday night. My dad did have one problem, at least that I know of, and that was he smoked. And back then, they didn't know that smoking caused cancer, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it because I couldn't hardly breathe when I was in the car or the pickup truck, and he was smoking a cigarette, and I would constantly say, Daddy, could you open your window? And he says, why? I said, man, I can't hardly breathe. He says, open yours. I said, well, then that'll pull all the smoke over to me. But anyway, he did smoke, and I wished he hadn't, but he did. Now, my mother didn't smoke. She was a good lady. And they were both Christians. They were both saved. And I thank the Lord for that. And Daddy was a farmer. He was a really hard worker. And he taught me how to work. And it's interesting. You know, you can be a preacher and not work very hard. Or you can be a preacher and you can work very hard. It's up to you. Now, you have a preacher that works very hard. Thank God for that. And I was a preacher that I worked real hard. But I have met some preachers that didn't work very hard at all. And I think it's sin for a Christian to not put a big effort into whatever they are doing. The Bible says, whatever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. But my dad was a faithful church attender and a faithful farmer. Worked very, very hard. He was faithful to my mother. Never, as far as I know, in his whole life did he ever even get tempted about stepping out on her. And my mother was always a very, very sweet Christian lady too. They had an effect upon me. Another guy that had an effect was Dr. Carlos Demarest. Have you ever heard of him before? All right, a few of you have. And Dr. Carlos Demarest was in El Paso, Texas when I went there to start that church in 1984. And he and I became soul winning buddies. And I'll tell you what, he was a great man of God. He loved the Lord and would talk to just about anybody in the world about Jesus. And when I was out with him, might as well figure on being gone a while, because wherever he went, he was going to talk to somebody about Jesus before he left that place. And all the time that he ever talked about Jesus, he always had tears in his eyes, and his eyes were watering. And he led a lot of people to Jesus Christ. He's in heaven now. But what a faithful man of God he was. Others that had influence upon me is Mrs. Sorensen. She was one of my teachers in high school. I didn't like her. She made me toe the line. In fact, one day I came to school and I did not have my homework done. And she said, "Does everybody have their homework done? Raise your hand if you have your homework done." Well, I didn't raise my hand because my dad taught me to always tell the truth. And so she said, "Roger, why don't you have your homework done?" And I said, "Well, Mrs. Sorensen, I had basketball practice yesterday after school, and it was 3 hours long. And then I had to go home and do some chores at home, and I got busy doing things that were important, and I just didn't have time." And she says, "Susie, did you get your homework done?" She says, "Yes, ma'am." And she says, "Susie, how many hours are there in a day?" And she says, 24. Pretty smart girl there. And she says, "Roger, there's 24 hours in a day. Susie did not have more hours than you had. And she got her homework done, and you didn't get yours done. You have no excuse." And so she punished me for that. And I didn't like her. But, you know, I can't name all the teachers I had in school. But I sure remember Mrs. Sorensen and the effect that she had on my life. And the reason of not giving excuses for everything that I didn't do that I was supposed to do. A lot of preachers have had effect upon my life, but one of them, maybe you've heard of him, maybe you haven't, but Larry Moody is a preacher in northern Wisconsin in a place called Cronenwetter. It's even hard to say, you know, Cronenwetter, Mosinee, up in there. And I've preached for them several times, several revivals and meetings that they've had and stuff, and missions conferences and conferences for marriage conferences and all kinds of things. But he is a great man of God. He is very consistent in his life. Him and his wife study their Bible and they pray every day. And he's consistent. He's about the same age as me, and he works harder than me at serving God. And man, he's a great man of God. Had a great influence upon my life. Another one that's influenced me a lot is my dear wife. She is more precious than I really like to admit. Actually, she is wonderful. No one likes to be corrected, or no one likes to be told things sometimes, but my wife is very gracious and sweet and helps me when I need help by suggesting things to help me. She does it in a sweet way too, and I think that. I've never met anybody, you know. My dad worked hard. My mother worked hard. And most people think I work hard. But to tell you the truth, folks, I am lazy compared to my wife. And remember, I started out the message or service tonight saying, I want to always tell the truth. And I am telling the truth. She's a sweet lady. She's had an effect upon me, and she's always caring, C-A-R-I-N-G, caring what people think. So many Christians don't care what people think, but she cares. And I think it's so important that we care what people think about us. That's why I try to make my shoes match my suit and my tie to match my suit and to wear my tie the right length without, you know, and all those kinds of things. And to try to keep my hair combed. And I'm sure I make a lot of mistakes. But if I do put on a tie that doesn't match, then my wife will sweetly suggest that it might be better if you put on a different tie, you know. But she acts appropriate all times, my wife does. I've not ever seen her do anything off color or wrong. Praise the Lord for that. And multitudes of other great qualities that I could mention. And a lot of other people have influenced my life. But I'd like to ask you, who has influenced your life? Well, I'll give you some suggestions and you could think about it, of whether they have or not. How about different pastors that you have had? How about fellow church members have influenced you? Youth leaders of your church that have influenced you, young fellows. Youth camp speakers and counselors at youth camp that counseled you in the bunkhouse. Missionaries that have come by your house, your church here, and you support them. Missionaries. School teachers. Coaches. Classmates at school. Friends. Neighbors. Brothers and sisters. Other relatives. Parents. And people that you've never met, but they've influenced you in things that they do or have done. Writers that have written books that you have read. Evangelists. I'm one of those. Wonder where that went. Can you imagine that? All of those evangelists that you've never met and that have impacted you in your life, and things that have happened to you, such as tragic accidents, maybe a disease, and you've met people from the disease, such as health workers and so on, maybe a car wreck. If our brother back here would have not been so quick, and if God hadn't helped him so much, he might have had a motorcycle car wreck that would have influenced him. Perhaps an event that has happened in your life that has affected you. All of you can remember probably where you were on 9/11. Maybe some of you older folks remember where you were in 1969 when we landed on the moon. Some of you real old people might remember where you were when John F. Kennedy got shot. Or perhaps maybe you'll remember when some of your or one of your loved ones died. In the final analysis, what about Jesus? What influence has He had on you in your life? Well, of course, if you're saved, then you were saved by the grace of God. And He died on Calvary's cross and raised the third day, being our Savior. What an example and what an awesome thing to think about Jesus and the influence that He has had upon you and upon me. But not only has He influenced you in a great way, He is God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Jesus, what a Savior. And of course, the Holy Spirit that lives in us and speaks to us and leads us and guides us and directs us. Even though most of the time, most Christians don't follow the Holy Spirit hardly at all. But we ought to pay attention to the Holy Spirit that leads us in our lives. Who or what is influencing you the most right now? I don't mean right this second, but it could be right this second, but I mean this period in your life. Who are you influencing by your life? Who are the people who your life that have helped shape you to be what you are right now, whether good or bad? Maybe you're a no good rascal. Well, somebody's influenced you to be a no good rascal. What if you're a godly Christian? Well, who has influenced you to be a godly Christian? But people have influenced you either for good or for bad. Who passed along faith to you? Who told you about Jesus? Your Sunday school teachers. Your pastors. Somebody that knocked on your door. Somebody that handed you a tract when you were out. Romans chapter 13, verse 33 says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been His counselor, or who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed to Him again? For of Him, and through Him, and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." He goes on to say, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." So, oh, how He has influenced us, and how probably a bunch of the messages that your pastor preaches is to influence you to do something great for God. Maybe soul winning. Maybe being separated. Maybe being faithful to your husband, faithful to your wife. Maybe in raising your children for God, and a multitude of other subjects that that your pastor teaches on here, that he has influenced you for good. And then others have influenced you for bad. Has the actors on TV influenced you for bad? Have the advertisements that you watched influenced you for bad? Have the neighbors that do not live for God influenced you for bad? And all kinds of things in this life either influences for good or for bad. Very few things are neutral in that area. Proverbs 27 verse 17 says, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Now, it's not the job of all of us to straighten everybody here out. However, it is my job when I'm here to try to be a good influence on everybody else that's here. And one of your jobs while you're here is to be a good influence on everybody else that is here. If you are in a bad mood, then what you need to do is have a word of prayer out in the parking lot in your car somewhere and say, "Oh God, don't let me take a bad attitude into church and hurt somebody's feelings and say things I shouldn't say and whatever. Help me to be a good influence when I go in the church." Romans 8:27-28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." Now, look at the Bible and you'll see Timothy. He was the first second generation Christian leader that's mentioned in the New Testament. Well, think about who influenced Timothy. Well, his mother had a great influence on him according to the Word of God. His mother and Eunice and his grandmother, Lois. And I pray that my wife and I have a good influence on our 26 plus all of my adopted grandkids around the country. It seems like everywhere I go, one of my grandkids happens to show up because there's somebody that's adopted me. And they call me Grandpa. Brother Starr's daughter-in-law calls me Grandpa. So, brother, I'm sort of related to you. Isn't that great? Well, number one, he's my brother. But I'm just joking there on that other part. But she calls me Grandpa. But guess what? Her mother calls me Grandpa too. And I know I'm getting old, but I didn't know I was the age of those people in a joke that I told a while ago. But Paul became Timothy's mentor. And he influenced Timothy to be the kind of man of God that he was supposed to be. And that he was. And we have the testimony in the Word of God. Paul laid his hands on Timothy and sent him out into service. What an influence he was. What a great, great man of God Paul was to have a good, positive influence upon Timothy. In Acts chapter 16, verse 1, it says, "Then came Paul to Derbe, he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek." 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded that in thee also." See, Timothy did not grow up in a family that talked like a Christian on Sunday, but didn't act like it on Monday. He would have never been a man of God, Timothy wouldn't have, if he'd have had a bad influence from Grandma and his mama. And if you're trying to raise kids for God and expecting Mount Zion Baptist Church to do all the work for you, you're going to raise a couple of heathen kids, or three or four or five, how many ever kids you have. It'll be almost impossible to raise kids for God if they don't see Christ in your family. And if they don't see if it's worth... And how are you influencing your children? How are you influencing your neighbor? Man, one of our goals ought to be at least get the gospel to our neighbors and try your best, if you could, to win them to Christ. But you ought to be an influence upon your neighbors. We need to understand that you are influencing people all the time. And many times you're not even aware of you influencing them. Now, I preach in 31 different states in the last 9 years. And I write down on the sermon where I preached that particular sermon, so that when I go back there, I don't preach the same sermon. However, I do have some sermons that I tell the same illustration in a different sermon. And so if I tell a sermon, an illustration tonight that you've already heard, the Lord must have known you must have needed it twice. I don't do it on purpose. But years ago, I was sitting in my house and I get a phone call. And the guy says, "This is Jack Woodard. Do you know me?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, I went to school with you." I said, "You did?" He says, "Yeah, I thought I knew all the kids in my class." And he said, "Yeah, I was 2 years younger than you." I thought, well, that explains it. In school, anybody that's younger than you is a nobody. You don't even know their names. If they're your age or older, they're important, but not the younger ones. They're just pipsqueaks. And so I said, that explains it. I said, "Jack, I don't know you." And he said, "Well, I know you." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yes, I knew you in high school. And I knew you had something that I didn't have. And I started following you. And I followed you all over the place. I followed you to downtown Brunswick, Missouri. I followed you into the little drugstore there and watched you get up on the bench and order a cherry phosphate. Anybody ever have one of those?" See, that's something we had a long time ago. Anybody? Oh, there's a lady who had one. Okay. And so cherry phosphate, that was a very good, delicious little, like a soda pop sort of type of thing. And Jack Woodard, he said, "I even followed you to church." And I kept asking people, "What does Roger have that I don't have?" And then one day, somebody said to him, "Well, he's got Jesus in his heart. You want me to show you how to get that?" And he said, "Yes." And they led him to Christ. And do you know what he told me next? He says, "And I'm an independent, fundamental, Bible-believing preacher in Mendenhall, Mississippi, because of your testimony in high school." Whoa. And I didn't even know him. What I'm saying is you influence people that you don't even know. I influence all of my grandchildren, hopefully in a positive way. Last year, 11 of them were in Bible college preparing for the ministry. This year, not quite as many because some of them graduated. About 12 more coming along that haven't been to Bible college yet, and I'm praying that every one of them will go to Bible college and do what God wants them to do. Now, I am not so much concerned whether they're a preacher or a missionary or a Christian school teacher or not, but maybe God calls them and they're going to be a plumber. But I want them to be the most godly plumber there ever was, or the most godly garbage collector that there ever was, and whatever that God calls them to do. But, you know, when I was pastoring in Wisconsin, I got a job one time, and I mentioned a couple of things about this when I was talking to the men over at the conference over here on a question and answer situation. But anyway, when I was working there as a pastor, I needed some extra money, and so I went to work for Boland's Corporation, and they make lawnmowers and snowblowers and stuff like that. And so I started on January 1st and quit on May the 5th, but every day when I worked, I enjoyed working there and worked from midnight to 6:30 in the morning. And I liked that shift because you got paid for 8 hours and you only had to work six because you got 30 minutes off for lunch. And so I went to work, and I didn't tell anybody that I was a preacher. The first night, though, somehow, before the shift was over, everybody in that whole section of Boland's Corporation knew they had a preacher working there. I don't know how the word got out, but it got out. And they wanted to check and find out if I was a real preacher or a fake preacher. They were. They were watching me. And so one day they steal my lunchbox and hid it somewhere. And there were 50,000 places in that place to hide a lunchbox. I mean, every bin in the whole place and all that kind of stuff. And no way, no sense for me even going to look for it. So what did they do? What did I do? Well, I went to a change machine and put a bunch of dollars in it. And got a bunch of coins. Came back and sat down at a little table and wrote a bunch of notes. And at break time, when all the men went on break, I had written these notes that said, "Take this 50 cents and buy yourself a cup of coffee. God bless you, I'm the preacher." Or God bless you, the preacher. And then I put one on every one of their workstations with the 50 cents. Then just went back to my place. They did not want me to be on break with them. They would tell their jokes and stuff like that, and I didn't want to be listening to that kind of stuff. And so they didn't want me around, so I always took my break by myself. Then they did some other things, and I'm not going to go into all the things they did because it would take too long. But they did several things to check me out to find out if I was real or not. One thing is they put up some bad pictures in my area, and I put a sign on it that said, "Thou shalt not commit adultery." And one of the workers complained to the foreman, and he came by and he said, "You're going to have to take that scripture verse off the machine there." And I said, "Well, you tell them to take down their stuff and I'll take mine down." Guess what? They all took their stuff down. But days passed, weeks passed. I'm always sitting by myself over there at break time, just sitting down. Then one day, a worker's walking by just as lunchtime started, and he said, "Hey, preacher, can I eat with you today?" I said, "Sure, sit down." And he sat down, and we talked a little bit, and he had a problem. And about 20 minutes later, God took his problem, and he got Jesus in his heart. That was exciting. He gets up, and he leaves, and a few days later, another worker walks by. "Hey, you mind if I eat with you?" Word was getting around, I guess. And folks, what I'm saying is you influence people. Wherever you are. And you need to understand that and keep understanding that you influence people everywhere. And you don't know when somebody knows you and when somebody doesn't. My wife and I were on our way to California. And when you go from Arizona into California, they have an inspection booth. They want to find out if you're taking an apple or a peach or something else. And they'll give you a life sentence out there if you sneak an apple in there or a peach or something, you know, into California. And so they were stopping. And if you have any, you have to either eat them there or give them to them. I bet they have more. I bet they have a whole freezer full of peaches and all that kind of stuff. And so anyway, this guy comes to our window. You have any oranges? You have any apples? No, we don't have any. Don't have any. And he says, are you from Wisconsin? Well, of course, he saw my license plate, probably, but I said, sure am. He said, you from Sheboygan? I said, yeah. I don't know how he knew that. But then he says, are you a preacher? And I said, yeah. How'd you know? He says, well, I get the newspaper from, I used to live there years and years ago, and I get the newspaper from Sheboygan, Wisconsin. And you're a Baptist preacher, aren't you? And I said, yes, I am. And he said, well, I've seen your picture in that paper, and I recognize you. Is your name Roger Petrell? Folks, I'm way out there in the middle of nowhere, and this guy comes to my window, and he knows who I am. And apparently was even influencing him in a little way. What if I would have had some things in that car that he shouldn't be seeing? That a Christian shouldn't have. Oh, listen. Listen, we need to understand that we are on display. I was in Indiana. And I had to go to somewhere. I don't remember where I was going. But I was going south on I-65. About 100 miles from Chesterton, Indiana. I stop at a gas station. And pull up. And I'm going to go in and get a cup of coffee or something. To just kind of keep me awake. Because I was a little drowsy. And I get up, and the same time I pulled in, there was another guy pulled in about three pumps down. And so I walk on in, and this guy walks up and comes up behind me, and I thought, uh-oh, what's he doing? And he said, hey, are you Pastor Bottrell? I turned around and said, well, yes, I am. And he recognized me, and I was 100 miles from anywhere. Think about that. Who recognizes you when you go out shopping? How many of you have ever heard of Aldi's? Oh, you've all shopped there too, I bet. But I went to Aldi's and took my wife along with me. Actually, she took me along with her. But anyway, she was going to Aldi's. And she went in Aldi's. I said, you need any help? And that was just my way of getting out of doing anything. And she said, no, I don't need any help. So she goes inside. And I'm sitting there in the car doing nothing. It's hard for me to do nothing. And so I see somebody bring a cart back. Well, at Aldi's, you had to put a quarter in to get a cart. And this guy brought a cart back, but he didn't push the thing in and get his quarter back. I thought, well, that's kind of dumb. And so I get out of my car and walk over there and push the thing in and get a quarter. Making money. And then I noticed there's another cart there that nobody put it in the slot there. And so I'd take that one and put it in here and get a quarter. And in 3 or 4 minutes, I had made about $3. And then it's about time for my wife to come back. So I go back to the car. And I go to the church the next Sunday. And a guy walks up to me and says, what in the world were you doing at Aldi's? And I tell him, nobody was putting those carts up, and so I just went over there and made $2 or $3. People watching you all the time. And he knew me. And folks, whether you're doing good or whether you're doing bad, it could be good or bad. And there wasn't anything wrong with what I did. It wasn't sinful. It just showed that I'm a stingy gut, and I've got to get the money, and nobody's getting it but me, you know. Anyway, I thought, why waste all that money, man? So anyway, that's what I did there. But the guy was over in his car, sitting there watching me. How many people watch you? You are influencing people. It's amazing. We went to My wife and I were flying somewhere. I don't remember where we were flying to, but I think it was from Minneapolis, Minnesota to Washington, D.C., and back to Minneapolis. But Minneapolis Airport, Minneapolis, Minnesota, where we were flying out of. And we're in Minneapolis Airport, and all of a sudden, up walks a guy and said, "Are you Pastor Bottrell?" In Minneapolis Airport, long ways from everywhere. And it was the son of a lady in my church in New York. It was her son. And I hardly knew him. We were in Branson, Missouri, at whatever that amusement park in there, what do they call that? Silver Dollar City, yeah, that's it. And we were there in the Silver Dollar City, and all of a sudden, a preacher, Clyde Barnes from Wisconsin, finds me and says, "Hey, Pastor Bottrell." What I'm saying is, I mean, I could give you more of those types of illustrations too, but wherever you are, there's people that see you, that are watching you, and maybe some of those people know that you go here to Mount Zion Baptist Church. And they say, "I've been watching him. I'm going to find out if he is a genuine Christian or if he's a fake. I'm going to see if he's real or if he's not real." And they're watching you, and you may be the cause of somebody rejecting Christ and going to hell because of your bad testimony. Man, think about it. That's why you say, "I don't care what people think." You need to care what people think, because your attitude and your life ought to exemplify Christ in a way that people can see Jesus Christ in you. Amen. That they can look at you and see Christ in the way you act and the way that you talk and the way you act. And when the teller at the grocery store is very mean to you and giving you the wrong change or doing something bad, the Lord may be letting them have that type of attitude because there's some other people in line that He wants them to see how good of a Christian you really are, and that you're exemplifying Christ right there in the grocery store. Do you ruin your testimony, or do you exalt the Lord Jesus Christ in the way you handle the situation? Every day, when you walk outside, your neighbors may be peeking through the cracks to find out, are you a genuine Christian or are you a fake? Are you really a good Christian? Are you living for God? Or is it just a Sunday thing for you? And you say, do people do that? They do. All the time. And it's happened enough to me that I know it's true. You're probably not even aware that you make an impression on people day in and day out and day in and day out. And you say, "Well, who in the world would pay attention to me?" Well, I've given you a bunch of examples. You just need to realize that you're on display all the time. Your brothers and your sisters watching you. Maybe if they're not saved, they're finding out if Christianity is real to you. Your mother, maybe. Your father. I met a lady this morning, led her mother and her father to Christ. They're probably both here tonight. And so on. Your extended family. Aunts and uncles and cousins and grandparents. And if you're married, relatives of your spouse. All of those you influence in a positive or a negative way. People that you work with. People that you work with. Hey, I wonder how many people would have gone to hell at the Bolins Corporation there if Roger Bottrell had not have acted like a Christian there when he was working there getting some extra money. We're on display all the time. We need to understand that. People that you see regularly in church are watching you too. Who perhaps maybe there's some people on this side that have noticed you on the other side, and they say, "I'm going to watch them and see what kind of a spirit they have, and if they're a genuine Christian or are they a fake. I want to watch how he treats his wife. I want to watch how she treats her husband. I want to see how they act here in church." And you're on display. You say, "I don't like that." Doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It's a fact of life. You're on display. When you're in school, those you go to school with, including your teachers, are watching you. And you have an effect upon them, either positive or negative. Your neighbors, which we've mentioned. Any friends you have. Surely you have some friends. And you have an effect upon them, either positive or negative. And your boss at the place that you work, the people that you work with, people in the businesses that you go to and you buy things from, you have an effect upon them, an auto parts store or whatever. When you go in there, hey, that's your opportunity to exemplify Christ in the way you act, in the way that you conduct yourself in those stores and so on that you go in. They need to see that, hey, there's something different about that guy. That guy, maybe you don't have time to lead him to Christ there at the counter, but they still need to see in your attitude and your spirit that you have something in your life that's different than what they have in theirs, and they ought to desire to want it, and you can have a good testimony to them. People like secretaries in a place, and janitors, and staff members, and in the hospital, and so on, and people at restaurants that you go to have a good effect, and talk to people in the restaurants, and in the gas stations that you stop at, grocery stores you go to, an insurance office where you go to, and hundreds of other people. We just don't have time to go through all of them. But all of us influence a lot more people than we think. We really do. And we'll stand before God one of these days and give an account of the things that you've done in your body. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and that every one may receive the things done in this body according to that he's done, whether it be good or bad." Romans 14:10. "But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ." He says, "But I say unto you," in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the works, or by the words thou shalt be justified, by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Sounds pretty serious, according to the Word of God, that we affect people in a good, positive way. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ Jesus." In other words, Timothy was taught the Scriptures from a child. That doesn't happen by osmosis. It was deliberate. It was on purpose. And it was consistent that Eunice and Lois taught Timothy the Word of God. And Timothy saw real Christianity in the lives of his mother and his grandmother. That's what made him want to serve God, when he saw real Christianity in mother and grandmother. And people need to see genuine, real Christianity in you, your children. You have only one shot to raise your kids. If you mess up, your kids will all go to the devil. And you just need to make up your mind that you're going to be the same every day. You're going to live for God. You're going to put God first in your life. You're going to try your best to exalt Christ and exemplify what Jesus would do all the time. Do people see real Christianity in you, or do they not? How are you influencing others by your daily walk? We all do. It's so important to be a good example every day. You can't expect your children to be real, dedicated, godly Christians if you're not. If they can't see Jesus in you, they won't want to have much of anything to do with Jesus at all, no matter who their Sunday school teacher is. 2 Samuel 3:13 says, "Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimeah, David's brother, and Jonadab was a very subtle man. And Jonadab influenced Amnon to commit incest with his sister, and eventually caused his death." He influenced him. Jonadab influenced Amnon. Who are you influencing, for good or bad? You can influence, you can be a bad influence on people and you can ruin people's lives, or you can be a good influence on people and be a blessing to them. Which do you want to be? You only have one chance. Do a good job. If there's anyone who knows who you really are, it's your spouse and your children. They see you all the time. I know a preacher. He's in heaven now. But he was in the lobby of his church. And he got into a discussion with one of his deacons. And he got mad at him. And he said, "Let's just go out and settle this in the parking lot." Do you know that in a few weeks he had to resign that church and leave? Because everybody in that church lost respect for him for losing his temper. It only takes one time, many times, to ruin your whole testimony. It takes a whole life to build a reputation. Only takes one bad thing or a few minutes to ruin a whole life's work. And you'll never get back to the level that you were before, no matter how you change. He lost the influence over his church and had to leave. We all present some kind of an impression on the people around us. Is it a good one? Or is it a bad one? I want to say, Matthew 5:14 says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." So, ye are the light of the world. It starts in your home. You're the light for your husband. You're the light for your wife. You're the light for your children. You're the light for your neighbors. And you could go through the whole list of people that you influence. John chapter 9 verse 5 says, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." That's what Jesus said. But then when he went to heaven, we become the light of the world. Now Jesus is in our hearts and we need to display that light so it can emanate from us, so people can see Jesus in us. We are ambassadors or representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, and our lives should exemplify and reveal what Christ really is. You know, I should be able to say, "You want to know what Jesus is really like? Just watch me." That's the way I ought to live, so that people will see Jesus in me. That's what Paul said in the Bible. He says, "Hey, if you don't know how to live for Christ, just watch me and do what I do. You live like me." Does your life, how you live or how you walk and how you act and how you talk and your relationship with your wife and your husband and your relationship with your children, does it reflect upon what Jesus really is? We are the influence on those around us, whether we realize it or whether we want to or not. It's a fact. People are watching you and looking for answers. Are you living for them in your life? Does your behavior cause them to ridicule Christ or to try to put Christ first in their life? I want to finish with this verse these verses in James. "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man may say he have faith and have not works, can faith save him? If your brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, ye be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I'll show thee my faith by my works." What Paul said. Your life and how you live it matters. It matters whether you exemplify Christ in your life or not. It matters what kind of an influence you are on people. Could we have every head bowed, please? Every eye closed for a moment. No one looking around. How you dress, how you act, how you live. It all matters. It all matters. And I'd like to ask, well, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Now, first I want to talk to Christians here. And if you're saved, you're born again, you have Christ in your heart, But if you were to stand before Jesus today, you'd have to say, Preacher, there's some adjustments need to be made in my life and the way that I act and the way that I talk and things that I do. I'd like to pray for you. And most of you, I don't know your name, but I'll pray and ask God to help you. Just slip your hand up and hold it there a minute if the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart, even tonight. Just slip your hand up, would you? Thank you. Now, if you're here tonight and you say, Preacher, I'm not even saved. I'd like to be saved. I'd like to go to heaven when I die, but I just don't know about this salvation thing, but I'd like to investigate it and trust the Lord as my Savior, maybe. Slip your hand up and let me remember you in prayer. Say, Preacher, I'd like to be saved. Slip your hand up. Let's all stand. Lord Jesus, I didn't see very many hands, but You saw the hearts of the people, and You know what's going on in people's hearts tonight. A lot of times a person doesn't raise their hand because maybe they're embarrassed or bashful, or they don't want the preacher to know something's not right in their life. But Lord Jesus, this altar here is for just whatever we need it for. And Lord, if You're speaking to hearts tonight, I pray that You'd have Your will in Your way in this invitation time. And Lord, if a person needs to come to this altar and just kneel and pray and talk to You about something in their life, maybe they want to better their influence or whatever it may be that You're speaking to them about, would You meet our spiritual needs? As the pianist plays and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you need to come, you just slip out. Do what God wants.
If you would say between the message this morning on things that we need to get rid of that are in our past and the message tonight that you feel like the Holy Spirit has put a focus in your life for this week about being an example. How many of you would say, Preacher, I see the connection between the morning message, the evening message, that me personally, front and center in my life this week is to be an example. Would you raise your hand with others this week, Preacher? That is in front of me. As I go into this week, my example matters. I influence others. Amen. Here for a second. You know where it's really tested? It's tested in your pressure points. It's tested when you're in the hot seat at the job. It's tested when somebody has to see you react to a life situation that, guess what, wasn't in your wheelhouse when you started the day. That's where our example's tested. Every day we live with those tests. And we're channels. Take your songbook if you would. Hymn number 477. We'll sing just the first verse tonight. Hymn number 477. How I praise thee, precious Savior.
How I praise thee, precious Savior, that thy love laid hold of me. Thou hast saved and cleansed and filled me, that I might thy channel be. Channels only.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.